Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our gospel reading from the fourth chapter of St. Matthew with an emphasis on these words. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I'm going to begin the sermon today by doing something that I never quite imagined that I would do, and that is to share a quote with you from Mario Puzo's famous crime drama, The Godfather. Reflecting about halfway through his book on the early life of the titular character Don Vito Corleone, Puzo takes a moment to muse, "Great men are not born great, they grow great." Now, the point of this saying is something which appeals to us greatly, as Americans in particular, doesn't it? Blood and fortune are not those things which constitute greatness. No, but rather actions and effort are what make one great. Anyone, in other words, can become great if only they apply themselves. I share this quote with you today because our text from Matthew chapter 4 reads almost like a flashback to the early days of the apostles before they were the fathers of the Christian church and the great men who we remember them to be. When Christ calls Simon Peter, for instance, arguably the most well-known and famous of his disciples, where is Peter? Well, he's not giving a sermon. He's not performing any miracles, certainly. He's not in the temple performing a priestly ritual because, as we know, Simon Peter was not a priest. He was in his fishing boat. He was out there on the lake with his brother Andrew, and they were casting their net into the sea, hoping to make a good catch for the day. Likewise, James and John, when they were called, they were busy helping their father Zebedee mend the nets in his boat. In both instances, when Jesus called them, they dropped what they were doing, and they followed him. It was with this simple action that their destinies were completely and irrevocably changed. However, what makes these men, the men in our gospel reading, distinct from people like Don Corleone, and I mean besides not being professional criminals, is that their greatness came not from their own actions, what they were doing, but their greatness, what we remember them for, is the actions of the man whom they followed. This is evident from the moment that Jesus issues his call to the disciples. You'll notice that just as his disciples were not yet servants in the temple, not one of them was going out of their way to seek Jesus. They were not looking for some kind of great spiritual awakening. Not one of them, at least in this text, pointed to the Christ on the shore and said, "Aha, this is the Messiah, let's follow him." No, Jesus is the one here doing the heavy lifting. Jesus is the one who seeks out and calls his disciples from their ordinary vocations to serve him in his kingdom. While certainly this call, this task, is quite daunting, you'll notice that none of these men whom Jesus called shrunk from the task before them. Now, you may hear this and you think this is kind of odd, especially when you consider the disciples' later track records of falling asleep on the job, doubting Jesus, denying Jesus, running away when things would get tricky. But no, that's not what happens here in Matthew. In this faith response, the nobility of the apostles was not really the key factor. Something else was tugging at them. Something else was pulling them to this faith response, and that is the work of the Spirit at the direction of the Christ. When Christ issues that call to service, it is the action of the Holy Spirit instilling faith which makes our hearts respond with action and with good works. Just as the work of salvation is not our own, so are the good and faithful works which we do, which we perform in the name of Jesus, not our own. In this way, Christ didn't just issue a call to the apostles. It was he himself who equipped the apostles for the task he had set before them. And so, likewise, I ask you today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the evangelism team of Faith Lutheran Church, do you ever feel unprepared or perhaps ill-equipped to share Jesus with your friends and your neighbors and the strangers all around you in your community of Bloomington, Indiana? Is the thought of bringing up the teaching and the salvation of Jesus with your peers and with your colleagues enough to make some of you want to sink into the carpet or perhaps bolt out of this sanctuary and head for the hills? Well, if so, I have some good news for you this morning. That reaction means only that you are still human, and, of course, that you understand the gravity of the call to discipleship. It is no little thing to have such a responsibility as that which we have as Christians, as disciples of our Lord Jesus. But still, there is more good news for us on top of this. The same Jesus who called you, an ordinary person, a human, a sinner, this same Jesus will also equip you for the service to which you have been called. Now, certainly that's very easy for me to say as your pastor, for I have been equipped with 4 years of seminary training and education. I've been spurred on by the promises of regular pay and benefits for my family, given a weekly, willing gathering of congenial and warm-hearted listeners with which to share the gospel. By all accounts, dear friends, the evangelism which takes place on Sunday morning at Faith is positively pleasant compared to many of the places which we are called to share Christ. But nevertheless, this remains the call of our Lord, to be fishers of men, to share Christ come rain or shine or hell or high water. And once again, it is not us who accomplish this task, but it is the work of the Christ himself. After Peter, Andrew, James, and John put down their nets to follow Jesus, it was not they who healed the sick. It was not they who preached good news to the paralyzed, the epileptic, and the demon-possessed. It was not they who fed the hungry, who gave sight to the blind. And it was not they who forgave sins and shined light into the darkness. No, that light which shone first to the unformed chaos of creation, and then shone to the prophet Isaiah, and then to the people of Israel, and now right here in Bloomington, Indiana, that light is and has always been the Christ. The Christ who called you in holy baptism equips you to serve in his name. It is not you who opens up the scriptures to ears who have not heard. It is not you who harvest the fruit of repentance. It is not you who creates faith in unbelieving hearts. This is all the work of Jesus Christ shining in you and through you by his Holy Spirit. And so, dear friends, I ask again, are you afraid? Are you afraid that you're not strong enough? Are you afraid that you're not smart enough, not faithful enough, not great enough? Can you not sing like angels? Can you not preach like Paul? Can you not rouse the wicked or stand watching for the coming of the Lord? Is such greatness as watching and waiting even beyond your feeble, sinful grasp? I confess to you that it is beyond mine. Yes, I, your pastor who is preaching to you from this pulpit. I am a man of wandering eyes and unclean lips. I have been lazy and impatient and selfish. I have been quick to anger and seeking those things which the Lord has not given me. I am not a great man. But here still this morning, I am privileged in my call to pronounce nothing else than Christ and Him crucified to you, this fellowship of saints. Great men are not born great. They are made great. Which, in my case, and the apostles' case, and all sinners' cases, means only that they are made to bear the image of their Lord Jesus to this sinful world. It means that they are tempered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the purpose to which their Lord has called them. If any of you have ever glanced over at the pulpit during the hymn of the day, then there's a good chance that you might have seen your pastors praying before they go to preach the sermon. And while I do not mean to put words in my brother Pastor Edward's mouth, I can make an educated guess this morning as to what he prays for, what all pastors who preach the gospel pray for. Your pastor, he prays for the heart of Christ. He prays that he would dwell in him in the delivery of these words. He prays for mercy to get up and by his meager efforts give a faithful exposition of the Holy Scriptures to the end that your hearts would hear and believe and be glad. He prays to be made a fisher of men for the kingdom of heaven. And each and every time that you, the people of faith, have heard your pastors preach in an exceptionally resounding or meaningful way, each time you have been stirred to repentance, to gratitude, to humility, that was not Pastor Beck. That was not Pastor Edwards. Nor was it you yourself. That was the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ being made manifest in you through yet another new epiphany. That was the work of the Holy Spirit, which roused your baptismal faith to bear fruit pleasing in the sight of God, your Father. Called to discipleship, called to works of righteousness, your God will not let you fall. He will not let the words of your mouth or the works of your hands return to Him void. For it is not your word, it is not your works, and it is not your will which come out of this holy house, but those of Christ Jesus. And dear friends, rest assured, be bold, be confident, His will shall be done indeed. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. That is the song we sing here at Faith Lutheran Church. Yet in Christ, that unsearchable greatness has been made yours. For Christ has called you by His name. He has made you fit to serve in His kingdom. And now in this congregation, look again and see where and how He calls you, His own, to be fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.